Charlie Tenna coming back at you for another 60 minutes in a radio. Boy, you really have to watch your pennies these days. Went to a bakery and said, how much is your fresh bread? The clerk said, 88 cents. I said, how much is your day-old bread? She said, 55 cents. I said, okay, here's 55 cents. Give me the fresh bread. I'll eat it tomorrow.
Does she walk? Does she talk? Does she come to please? My home angel, it's broken for my seat. She was pure like snowflakes. No one could ever stain. The memory of my angel could never cause pain. Years go by, I'm looking through a girl's magazine. There's my home angel on the pages in between. My blood runs cold. My memory has just been sold. My angel is the centerfold. Angel is the centerfold.
Band and Charlie Tuna in your centerfold. Coming up in the next 60 minutes, we'll have another Consumer Line report, celebrity close-up with Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys. My telephones are open for up to and including the ridiculous.
She's got a way about her. I don't know what it is, but I know that I can't live without her. She's got a way. But there doesn't have to be a reason anyway. She's got a smile that heals me. I don't know what it is, but I have to laugh when she reveals me. She's got a way of talking. To me, when I'm feeling down, inspires me. Without a sound, she touches me, and I get taken. She's got a way of showing me. make her feel. And I find the strength to keep on going. She's got a light around her. Oh, everywhere she goes, million dreams of love surround her everywhere. To me when I'm feeling down, inspires me without a sound. She touches me, I get turned around. She's got a smile, heals me.
Billy Joel, She's Got Away. Piano Man does too. And so does actor Glenn Ford, who is on television a lot these days, in these Avis Rent-A-Car ads. And he is constantly ringing and waving his hands around as he extols the merits of Avis. And it's quite deliberate, according to the ad agency, which produces the commercials. All that hand action is very successful in riveting the attention of the viewer to the screen. The man at BBDO Advertising, who dreamed up the ad, says it is intentional, but I wouldn't read anything into it. I don't want to say if it was our idea or Mr. Ford's. You know why he's wringing his hands like that, going, oh boy, why? He's thinking of all the money he's going to get for the commercial. Oh boy.
Charlie Tuna!
The statistics are grim. The leading cause of death in children under five is automobile accidents. But the real tragedy is that many deaths and injuries could have been prevented. The solution is relatively simple. Use specially designed child safety restraints. According to the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, several different types have been crash tested. One for infants is a restraint that keeps baby riding backwards in a semi-reclining position. A tiny infant may require extra padding to prevent flopping from side to side while traveling. Receiving blankets can be rolled up and tucked on either side of the infant to give more support. Check with your doctor for advice and be sure to read the manufacturer's specifications. Another kind of restraint is the chair type with harness. A harness usually comes across the lap, over both shoulders, and through the legs. For more information, send for a copy of Auto Safety and Your Child. It's free. Just send a postcard at the Consumer Information Center, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Consumer Line.
A radioactive gas known to have caused lung cancer in uranium and gold miners in the 1950s and 60s is making a small fortune for Montana mine owners who claim the stuff is good for what ails you. New Age magazine reports that at least half a dozen radon gas health spas have opened at abandoned mine shafts in the Treasure State. Operators like Ann Grund at the Mary Widow Health Mine in Basin, Montana, claim that the radioactive gas can alleviate psoriasis, hay fever, eczema, migraine, diabetes, allergies, and other ailments. Holistic health fans are reportedly flocking to the mines to breathe the gas and drink radon-laden waters. Despite the owner's claims, an earlier study done by the U.S. Public Health Service indicated that miners exposed to the curative gas suffered a lung cancer rate 5 times greater than that of the non-mining public. Tobacco was ruled out as a factor in the study because many of the miners were non-smoking Native Americans. Radon gas for that healthy glow.
Consumer Line.
Thank you.
Burlington and Love Finds a Way, and also Laughs at Locksmiths. I'm going to get some of their material. Here's Neil Diamond and his Yesterday's Songs.
Like they did before. Maybe yesterday's blues, maybe yesterday's news, but the truth always stays the same. And the good things will never change. Like saying I love you.
You say your neighbor's yapping mud has been keeping you awake nights. British inventor Mike Steele has just the ticket. It's an electronic dog collar. It's fitted with a microphone trigger that fires off a blast of high-pitched sound similar to that of a silent dog whistle every time the dog barks too loudly. In short order, says Steele, the dog learns to refrain from barking to avoid shocking sensations. Steele says the system can be used in chicken coops, too. When the fox enters the henhouse, the birds begin squawking, setting off the alarm. The ultrasonic blast then blows the fox right out of his socks. Does the name Pavlov ring a bell?
Charlie Tuna!
Form a strong cornerstone for your future. Buy United States savings bonds through the payroll savings plan where you work. It's the perfect thing for, say, a little home improvement. From reflooring your kitchen to putting a new roof over your head. So take stock in America and buy bonds. They're very constructive. Charlie Tuna on the telephone now with a Hunt Club update. Who's this?
Myrna Moore.
Hi, Myrna. You said you had a big turnout of our listeners who heard about the Hunt Club.
I was amazed. I mean, people were coming from every direction saying, I heard about you, and then they'd give me the call letters of your station. They just wanted to come get their hugs, and I had 25 huggers come donate their time to give away free hugs.
You're going to be someplace else, though, now, right?
We're going to be at the National Health Show. It's the biggest show in the country.
So if they want a big hug, just go on down there, right?
Right, but, you know, the exciting thing for me was the man who puts on the show saw our booth and said, I don't care what you do, but I want that booth in my show. And we're there by popular demand.
Well, give him a big hug, okay?
And everybody can get your hugs and come play with us.
I like that. Hey, Charlie Tuna, and Got to Give It Up, Part 1. Well, I'm ready, but the guy never gives up when it comes to questions on the telephone. Hi, who's this?
Tim.
Hi, Tim, and you have a question today for?
Mr. Music.
And the question is?
Okay, this is one of your favorite, you can eat on it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, which of the, I tried it and I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Which of the following have the 1967 hit single, I Was Made to Love Her?
Oh, easy, Stevie Wonder.
Oh, okay, I was a Stevie Wonder fan, but I guess that's one of his first.
That was one of them.
You want to know what you want to win?
Yeah, what did I win?
Tell you what, you got a 12-ounce Coke with any purchase.
Get out.
Drink to you, Charlie.
Waiting for the break of day.
Chicago, and Charlie Tuna with 25 or 64. I don't know what time it was that I woke up in the middle of the night. I didn't get that much sleep. I kept having this terrible dream that the government was going bankrupt, and the only one who could save it was Chrysler.
Charlie Tuna!
Retirement again. Well, he never really retired, just kind of went away like rock and rollers do and wait for that right time to reemerge. And he is back. And guess who his producer is? None other than Tom Petty of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Of course, he got him real cheap, though. Tom's working for petty cash.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. You said you had the answer to it all. You never told me I'd take a fall. Mirror, mirror on the wall.
To you.
Charlie Tuna and Mirror, Mirror. You say you're having 4,000 guests over for a quiet sit-down dinner and don't know what to serve. You might want to check out the recipe for elephant stew in the cookbook celebrating the University of Texas 100th anniversary. To make the stew, quote, cut elephant into small bite-sized pieces. This should take about 2 months. Brown in a large skillet, making enough gravy from the drippings to cover. Cook over mesquite campfire about 4 weeks at 465 degrees or until tender. Serves 3,836 people. The recipe comes from Mary Barnes James, a 1975 graduate who said, this recipe was very popular back in my grandfather's day. In fact, it was so popular, most hunters are hard-pressed to find any elephants in Texas now. That's right.
Charlie Tuna.
What if you suddenly get that transfer notice you've been waiting for? Don't let the move cause you unnecessary worry. Two stops will save you a lot of time and aggravation. One at the installation transportation office and another at the housing referral office. The transportation office will assign a good mover who will pack and make an inventory of your clothes and household goods. The installation transportation office will handle most of the chores involved in the actual move. The housing referral office will help you find a home or apartment, and some things you'll have to do yourself. But remember, between the installation transportation office and the housing referral office, you'll find they'll make your move easier than you think it'll be. Celebrity
close-up.
Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys talks about his early musical influences.
A lot of influences. The great rockers, really. Rock and roll greats. Rhythm and blues greats. My first influence was Chuck Berry, and I think that he really fathered the basic rock and roll style of the guitar boogie, and the way he wrote the tunes with so many syllables in the words. And Rolling Stones are definitely an influence. Some of Bad Company's early recording.
And modern day influences for Carl Wilson.
I was very impressed by Elvis Costello and the stuff that Tom Petty opened up with. Music seems to be going through a shift with a lot of the punk and new wave things coming into play also. That's a thing. There's a lot of theatrics involved in that, so I don't know what the lasting influence is going to be musically, you know, orally, just what we hear. It seems to me that music keeps looping around in that we have different styles that become real popular and some drop away, and then as it keeps shifting some more, some of those styles will come back into it. So it seems to be integrating a lot more.
Carl Wilson then talked about his new solo career without the company of the Beach Boys.
Well, it's a lot of excitement, and it's also a thing where there's a part of me that was going, oh, gosh, you know, when I started to move into this. It's really fun. It's a new experience for me, so it's not like the 50th Beach Boy tour, you know, or something like that. It's a different kind of experience, and it's a thing where I have to really put myself into it. With the Beach Boys, you just have to show up, and the concert will play itself almost. So this is a thing where I have to put myself on the line, and I think that's a thing that I sort of needed to do, so I'm glad I have the opportunity to do this. I'd love to see the Beach Boys get back into the studio and do something real energetic and creative. We were hoping that this album would encourage the guys to, you know, to get back into it.
Celebrity
close up.
I've been in the town so long and back in the city. I've been taken for lost and gone and unknown for a long, long time. Fell in love years ago with an innocent girl from the Spanish and Indian home, full of the heroes and
hour of my life with the heroes and villains.
Tuna with the good guys and the bad guys. Well, you can always tell the good guys in the modern movies. They're the ones who wear white shorts.
I once thought of love as a prison, a place I didn't want to be. So long ago, I made a decision to be footloose and fancy free. Seemed like the perfect crime.
my kind of down-home music or upstream music. It's love in the first degree. Well, the prolonged national economic slump is claiming another victim, the vending machine, first degree. With factories reducing their workforces, vending machine business is down as much as 33% in some parts of the country. As a matter of fact, in the last month, the Choice Vend Company, which once had two-thirds of the soda business, filed for bankruptcy. Vending machine operators are hurting, too, and many are turning to video games and jukeboxes to make up the lost revenue. As one Indiana operator put it, as long as people will buy it, we'll put it in the machines. Otherwise, we're going to get nickel and dime to death.
Charlie Tuna.
There's a VA office near you where eligible veterans can get financial assistance to earn their college degree or buy a home. This same office will provide eligible veterans and their dependents with compensation and pension for service-connected disabilities. The Veterans Administration has hundreds of offices around the U.S. to serve veterans in many ways. When you're a veteran, why not visit the VA? Charlie Tuna on the telephone here. Somebody called in about that elephant stew recipe we had earlier. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Adeline.
Hi, Adeline. Sweet Adeline?
Oh, no.
And you said you had a recipe, too, for elephant stew, huh?
I do, and it's basically the same, except mine, one of the ingredients is two rabbits, which are optional.
Oh?
Which is a whole, the same thing that you said.
Two rabbits.
And there's a little notation that says, if more people are expected, the two rabbits may be added, but do this only if necessary, as most people do not like to find hairs in their stew.
Somebody somewhere, in the heat of the night, looking pretty dangerous, running out of patience. Twisted, another lover cheated.
Stewart and Charlie Tuna. The telephone is my passion, and somebody else is on the line.
This is Cliff from Acme Ski Rentals. We are selling some property on Pluto. It is for skis.
Selling property on Pluto?
No, it's skiing property. It's for $5 million.
Uh-huh.
You get your spaceship.
Yeah.
And you get your property, and there's a ski. Your little shack up there. You got your electricity, all conveniences of home, even your flush toilets.
How long a trip is it up to?
14 years. 7 years there, 7 years back.
Now, how long would you spend there on a ski?
That's up to you. Usually 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And only $5 million.
Oh, $5 million. There's cocktails nightly.
To Pluto.
Oh, on the trip up there.
You know what this sounds like?
What?
Another Mickey Mouse deal.
The night was black, rain falling down. Look for my babe, she's nowhere around. Traced her footsteps down to the shore. Pray she's gone forevermore. I looked at the sea and it seemed the same. I took a bit from you away. I heard a voice crying in the deep. Come join me, baby, in my endless sleep. Why did I leave her alone tonight? That's why her footsteps ran into the sea. That's why my bed has gone from me. I looked at the sea and it seemed to say, I took your bed from you away. I heard a voice crying in the deep. Come join me, baby, in my endless sleep. Ran in the water, heart full of fear. There in the breaker, I saw her near. Reached for my darling, held her to me. Stole her away from the angry sea. I looked at the sea and it seemed to say, you took your baby from me away. My heart cried out, she's mine to keep. I saved my baby from an endless sleep, endless sleep.
I actually bought a copy of that record when it was on a 78. It goes back that far. 1958. That's Jody Reynolds and Charlie Tuna endlessly. Well, that's going to have to can it for another hour. Thank you very much for sharing another 60 minutes with me. Before we say our goodbyes, a special hello to all our friends and listeners on the U.S. Navy ships. And stay tuned.
The American Forces Spain Network now presents live coverage of the third launching of America's reusable space shuttle, the Columbia. We now join our network sources for this coverage.
From ABC News, the third flight of the Columbia. I'm Bob Walker at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Liftoff scheduled 10 minutes from now. Astronauts Jack Lausner and Gordon Fullerton are on board, strapped in. They have been for some time. I understand there could be a problem with the weather. Let's go upstairs now to my colleague, John Lyon. John, what do you know about that?
We're hold for main engine ignition, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine ignition.
A huge jet of white smoke and orange flame, but two solid rocket boosters on either side light up. Columbia kicks and goes like a drag racer away from the mark. Astronauts Jack Lausma and Gordon Fullerton pressed back in their seats by the forces of gravity. 7.5 million pounds of thrust from those rocket engines as Columbia accelerates through the clouds up towards space. You can hear the roar. Now Columbia rolls over on her back, crossing the beach, 600 miles an hour, headed in the program course toward an orbit up 130 miles eventually. A beautiful sight. The jet of orange flame from the back of Columbia extending out as far as we can see, about a quarter of a mile.
Already,
full of white smoke.
Already over 4 miles high, easing through the speed of sound now. Beautiful sight as it moves out above the clouds.
Jack Lausma, radio's back. We're go here, too.
1:10. Columbia now 7 nautical miles at altitude, 4 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reading 2,700 feet per second.
On their backs, they went through the speed of sound and eased through beautifully, and everything is continuing to go
Mark,
beautifully.
1:45. Columbia now 11 nautical miles in altitude, 8 nautical miles downrange.
We got a free-on loop right here.
Roger, we're looking.
That's not a surprise.
And nothing cooler. Okay.
That was Jack Lausma reporting a free-on loop light. 1:40. Coming up on negative seats where altitude is too high for ejection seat use.
You're listening there to John McLeish in Houston.
Columbia, Houston, negative seats.
If anything went wrong now, they'd have to fly the ship back.
5 seconds. Columbia now 21 nautical miles in altitude, 19 nautical miles downrange.
2 minutes.
2 minutes, 2 seconds. Standing by for solid rocket booster separation confirmation.
Solid rockets have separated, successfully separated, and we can't see it from here.
2 seconds. Confirm solid rocket booster separation.
Roger, Columbia, we confirm guidance converged.
Looking beautiful.
2:23. Onboard guidance is converging as programmed. Columbia is now steering for a precise window in space for main engine cutoff.
3,300 miles an hour.
Standing by for two engine TAL capability.
That means on two engines they can get across the Atlantic.
Everything going according to plan. It'll take Columbia almost 8.5 minutes to get into space. Going along just fine. Now 2:45 into the flight.
Call up by Capcom. Terry Hart says that Columbia now has a two-engine auto-landing capability at Rota Naval Air Station, Spain. Columbia now 42 nautical miles in altitude, 58 nautical miles downrange.
It looks like the water well is working real good.
Okay, that's good. That's cooling. That's wonderful. 5 minutes
well,
and 50
first
seconds left.
Is real barn.
The first part of this ride is a real
seconds.
Barn
Columbia
burner.
Columbia's three main engines.
And we got some flakes going by the window. We got some just right after liftoff.
Those are just little particles going by. They're just reporting something they saw. Everything going well. About 4,000 miles an hour now.
Blizzard out there. Lots of white little flakes.
Roger.
3:30. Columbia now 51 nautical miles in altitude. Return status check and mission control by Flight Director Tom Holloway. 3:40. Lausman and Fullerton given a go to continue.
5 minutes left to go on those main engines and everything going well. Charlie
3:45. Columbia now 53 nautical miles in altitude, 104 nautical miles down range. Really moving out now. Velocity now reading 7,800 feet per second.
Almost 5,000 miles an hour.
APU oil tap 5 up there.
Number 3 APU, we'll take a look at it.
They need all three of them.
Okay, Houston, stand by for negative return. Mark, here, negative return.
Okay, they will not be returning here to the Kennedy Space Center. Any further problems, they'll be going on to Spain, to land in Spain. But everything is looking beautifully right now. Charlie Bolden, how does it look to you?
It looks very good, John. A comment that was made there by Gordon Fullerton about the APU temp, that was to be expected. We've seen that on all the flights, and it's not something abnormal. It's a problem that we're working with. But everything's looking good.
4 minutes, 34 seconds into the flight right now. Going perfectly.
We recommend water spray boiler number 3 to Bravo.
About halfway through the powered phase of flight now.
That's some cameras, long-range cameras, still have that in sight. 4 minutes, 49 seconds, going well.
Aboard Columbia, you can probably still feel the acceleration pushing you back into your seats if you're one of those astronauts. Jack Lausman reported to Mission Control, the first part of this flight is a real barn burner.
Columbia, Houston, stand by for Preston Eco.
That will be an okay to say that you can get to main engine cutoff on one engine, if you on two engines if you lose an engine. That's a good sign, and everything looks good.
Market, you're Preston Eco with normal throttle.
Thank you.
Going beautifully here. 5 minutes, 23 seconds into the flight. Gives them about 3 minutes and 15 seconds left to go on those main engines.
The world's first reusable spacecraft, making its third trip up into orbit. So far, everything going well.
Out here at the launch site, a huge cloud of smoke is now just making its way, its way away from the pad.
Columbia, Houston, we're still watching the temps on APU-3. They're still climbing. We'll keep you advised.
Okay, we are also.
2 minutes, 50 seconds left to go in these engines. They're now 65, almost 65 miles high. Pretty soon they'll start nosing over, or they are nosing over right now.
Houston, you have single-engine TAL capability.
Roger, single-engine TAL.
They're nosing over now to build up speed. They call single-engine TAL capability, which means that on one engine, they could get across the Atlantic, and they could land in Rota, Spain. They don't want to do that, of course. They want to go on into orbit, and it looks like they'll be able to do that if everything continues as well as it's going now. 6 minutes, 20 seconds into the flight.
Once they get up there, they'll spend 7 days in orbit in a kind of cramped cockpit about the size of a large van. The two astronauts have 9 scientific experiments and a great deal of other work to do. And as Charlie Bolden reported earlier, coming back, they'll ring out the spacecraft with a series of flight maneuvers to see how tough it is and how far it can be pushed.
Pretty soon they should give them a call, single-engine Preston Eco, which means that they could get into orbit or get into this.
Columbia, Houston, no action required at this time, but be advised we're thinking of shutting down APU-3 after single-engine Preston Eco.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, right. Sure.
They need 3 of these APUs to continue with the main engines, but once they get Preston Eco, single-engine Preston Eco, they could shut down one of those APUs. And that should be coming up any minute now, this single-engine Preston Eco call.
Okay, we're getting some horizon coming up real far of our window now, boy. It's really a beauty. Great.
Roger, sounds good, Jack.
That's because they're nosing over. They can see the horizon through the window.
Columbia now actually has to dive in order to gain speed, to gain the speed necessary to stay in orbit.
Columbia, Houston, single-engine Preston Eco.
Single-engine press.
One engine, they can get into orbit. Now they have less than a minute to go.
Columbia, Houston, we recommend you secure APU-3. Over.
Okay, shut down APU-3.
50 seconds now until they shut down those main engines. They have just shut down one of the auxiliary power units. That's not a problem at this point. They don't need all that muscle to move those engines around anymore.
But we probably should note that there have been APU problems on all of the shuttle flights, all 3, and that this little engine, which is the same kind of thing used in jet liners around the world, has been giving Columbia problems.
25 seconds left to go, Vic, on the main engines right now. And, of course, there'll be more talk about this APU thing because it's possible it could bring them down early. Nosing up again now to start climbing. They're about 60 miles high and pushing up before they cut the engines down. About 7.
And there's Mako, Houston, 25.680 right on the button.
Right on the nose.
285 up.
Roger, sounds like a good one.
Okay, the speed they wanted is exactly the speed to go.
We're standing by.
Roger.
17,000 miles an hour.
Just beautiful. Now they have, in a few more minutes, minute and a half. Minute and a half, they'll fire the Ohms engines, the two little maneuvering engines, to push them up into an orbit. They have now separated from that giant orange tank that we saw here at the Space Center, and they are now in space, the main engines having done their job. Charlie Bolden, they did it again.
Well, they sure did, John, and I think we can all be proud. I might point out one thing about the APU so that nobody gets alarmed. It's actually not the APU or the auxiliary power unit that's been giving us the problem. we use a water spray boiler through which the oil runs to cool down, and that water spray boiler is what's not working. So we will have that auxiliary power unit available for the on-orbit portion and for the landing.
Okay, they have just been given approval to fire the engines up at 10 minutes and 33 seconds into the mission, the two maneuvering engines, to push them up into a 46 by 130-mile orbit.
And Charles Bolden, this kind of thing was expected because of the cold of space, wasn't it? The problem with the APU?
Yes, Vic, in a way it was. We have been experimenting on both the second flight and this one with the amount of what we call preload, or water, that we put in the water spray boiler. It's kind of like an oil cooler in a car, and what's happening is the water is freezing up, and it causes us not to be able to cool the auxiliary power unit oil sufficiently. So that's why we had to shut it down, to keep from damaging the auxiliary power unit.
Columbia now at burn attitude, in burn attitude.
Less than 10 seconds now, they'll ignite those two maneuvering engines to put them into a higher orbit. And everything continues to go well for STS-3. We should hear a report on that burn, and we'll hear pressure, chamber pressures like 90, 95, something like that, that'll tell us those engines are going well. Anything above 90.
10 minutes, 43 seconds. The prop systems controller reports ignition, two good engines.
Okay, well, we didn't hear 90, 95, but everything apparently is going very well.
We're doing the first Ohm's burn now.
This is the quietest crew in some time. They just have not talked a lot, or even a little, on this flight so far.
All they're doing here is giving a little nudge of about 130 miles an hour to their speed to push them into a higher orbit. Still, the smoke from launch is still around that launch pad out there. It's, people are now making their way toward their cars here at the Space Center.
Houston, 30 seconds left. Configure LOS. The burn's looking real good. Going over the hill. We'll see you at Madrid.
All right, they're moving away.
Okay, Terry, the burn is looking real good. We're on time and see you at Madrid.
They're moving out of the tracking station at Bermuda, and they will be out of the, will not be tracked for the next few minutes, and the Madrid tracking station will pick them up a little bit later. But everything looks just beautifully here.